Greetings, brothers and sisters from around the world, and welcome to a special edition of the Black Channel Radio program. I am your brother, your host, your humble servant, the Black Authority. Sitting with me tonight is Professor Black Truth. Welcome back to the Black Channel, brother.
B1 family.
And the telephone number, I don't even know if I'll be taking any phone calls here tonight, but of course the telephone number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Just look on your computer screen, the personal access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today, a critical, crucial, essential component of your survival. Persistent, consistent, and uncompromising, this is Black Channel Radio program. Now, brothers and sisters, you might be asking yourselves, why are we having a special broadcast here tonight? Some of you may already be aware, but I felt it was incumbent upon us, especially with the events happening as they are. Why are we having a special broadcast here tonight with everything else that could be going on? And that is because we give you the information you will get nowhere else. A couple of weeks ago, I made a statement here on the Black Channel. A couple of weeks ago, I made a statement that some people might have questioned at the time. But nobody's questioning it after tonight, and you won't be. Last summer, there was a white cop in McKinney, Texas, and you all saw him knock a young black girl down on the ground. He's doing barrel rolls. He's chasing young black kids around, and he immediately got himself fired. And I told all of you that I worried about that event. While other people were trying to do victory laps, I warned you all. My statement to you was that I worried about that event. And my concern was that black folk have shown a habitual propensity that if we get half a lick of something that seems halfway going our way, we'll walk off the field and declare victory. In the middle of the first quarter, we're down by 50 points. We make one touchdown and we declare victory and walk off the field. And I warned everyone. I was worried about McKinney, Texas. I was worried about that. I was worried that it would lull black people into a false sense of security and victory, and I'll be damned if it didn't do just that. And I told you all that an event like that will be followed by white supremacy saying, we gonna settle the score and balance the scales. And you have seen it happen in the last month. In Baltimore, you can't get the cops in jail. In Cleveland, the killer cops are walking free, and tonight we just got word that Michael Slager, the murderous cop who on video was shown shooting Walter Scott dead in the back, has just been released on bail. We're breaking the news here tonight, right now. In black society, this is the only place that will say this. This is the only place you're hearing it. Michael Slager, killer cop in South Carolina, has made bail. Bobby Shmurda can't make bail. Ain't killed nobody. Can't make bail. Michael Slager is on the streets tonight. Got him on video. There is no question and no doubt of what he did. Got him on video, dead to rights, and he's walking the streets tonight. You're hearing this nowhere else. You're hearing it on the Black Channel. You'll all remember a couple of weeks ago, I made the statement, and if you don't think that Michael Slager could walk, you don't know what country you live in. You want to declare victory and go home. You want to get half a lick of something that looks like you won, and then you want to go home. And there are so many twists and turns to this. There are so many. And you start asking yourself and thinking and looking, where do I point the finger? Who do I blame? What caused this as we live in this era of minority population, majority white supremacy? This white minority supremacy era that we live in now. And who do we blame? I suppose we can start with the white supremacist court system and the white supremacist judges. The white supremacist judges and prosecutors, they're always allowing them to kill and walk. The white supremacist judges and prosecutors, the white supremacists. Wait a minute. Hold on just a moment here. White supremacist judges. Who is the judge in the Michael Slager case? Circuit Judge Clifton Newman. Hey, hey, I remember that name. He's not white, he's black. The judge who approved the bail bond today? You all are thinking about the white man with the arraignment of Dylan Roof. No. This is a black judge presiding over the Michael Slager trial. It is a black judge that just released him on bail. You see, white racism can just wipe their hands clean. You didn't know who was on their team. You didn't know that the fix was in. They did. You didn't know it, but they knew it. And now they are showing you that this isn't your system. It's not your country. It's not your court system. It's ours. We pull the strings. We work the puppets. We run the show. I warned you all before, everyone, from your local district attorney to Barack Hussein Obama, that in the 21st century, their goal is to lead us back into chattel slavery captivity, and that it will be a black face that takes you there. We have been screaming it from this microphone for over half a decade now, and each of the prophecies are coming to pass. And no, it is not lost on me that they do this within 48 hours of the passing of our beloved mentor, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. No, it's not lost on me that that happened. Whether intentionally or irony, it's not lost on me. You all want to know what caused this? I'll let you know what caused it. I'll let you know right now what caused it. As a matter of fact, I'll let you hear it.
I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord until I die.
Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with that audio, that was CNN's Anderson Cooper speaking to no less than Walter Scott's mother. And it took him no time whatsoever to ask her about her feelings. And she got together a barbershop quartet of her civil rights generation buddies who caused these murderous, racist demons to be allowed to walk the streets today. Because if they had slain these demons when they were our age, they would not still be walking the streets today to do this. In any case, she busted out in the song. She started singing hymns. She has the luxury of saying, I'll trust in the Lord till I die. She's still alive. It's her son who's dead. Her son is the one who is dead. She's the one still alive. Easy for her to say. She ain't got anybody pointing guns at her. Now, I want to read the story from USA Today, and I want to come back to his mammy. The story from USA Today today from Greg Tapo, a former South Carolina police officer charged in the videotape killing Now, it's not a killing, sir. It's murder. It is the video recorded murder of an unarmed black motorist last April, is free on bond after a judge ruled that he should remain jailed until his planned October trial. Michael Slager is charged with murder in the shooting death of Walter Scott. Slager is shown on cell phone video firing 8 times as Scott ran from a traffic stop in North Charleston, South Carolina. The case added fuel to an already intense national debate about how blacks are treated by white police officers. Slager, 34, had been jailed in isolation for more than 8 months since his arrest. By the way, everybody, they've got prisoners in Angola who have spent their entire sentences, 20-plus years, in isolation. And USA Today wants to start crying and moaning and invoke sympathy for a known killer who's only been there for 8 months, but I digress slightly. The Charleston Post and Courier reported last month. His defense team in December asked Circuit Judge Clifton Newman to set his trial for the spring. But prosecutor Scarlett Wilson is also prosecuting the case of Dylan Ruff, the white suspect in the killings of 9 black parishioners at a Charleston church. Trial is slated to take place in July. Wilson said a state Supreme Court order prevents her from trying other cases before that one. She had asked for a November trial date for Slager. His attorneys asked the judge to free him, saying he would otherwise face 11 more months in incarceration, the Post and Courier reported. Wilson opposed the release, saying there had been no change in circumstances to warrant it. Quote, we believe the defendant remains, as the court found, a danger to the community and a flight risk, she said. Walter Scott, the father of the slain man, also addressed the judge. This is a black man talking to a black judge, saying he often goes to the cemetery to visit his son's flower-bedecked grave. Quote, if we let him, Slager, out, he's going to go home to see his wife and children. All I can look at is a pot of flowers, Scott said. But Judge Newman ruled that the trial delay was a change in circumstances that allowed him to reconsider bail. He ordered Slager freed on $500,000 surety bond, saying the ex-cop would have to remain in South Carolina once released. Scout's honor. Slager was released at 7 p.m. Monday, the Post and Courier and the Associated Press reported. Newman also set an October 31st trial date. Slager faces 30 years to life without parole if convicted. In October, the city of North Charleston approved a $6.5 million civil settlement with Scott's family. After the shooting, the U.S. Justice Department said it was looking into possible federal civil rights violations. Ha ha, in the case. On Friday, Wilson said federal officials have sent the state a letter saying that Slager could face charges. After the bail decision on Monday, Scott family attorney Justin Bamberg, he's black, urged the public to, quote, just be peaceful. Do you all want to know why that man got released? Let me let you hear one more time why he got released.
I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust.
You cannot go out here and say that you forgive your killers and then expect the courts to say, well, he's a danger to the community.
In the Lord, I'm going to trust in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You cannot engage in this type of behavior and think that you are going to be able to convince a court to send the bastard who killed your child to hell. That's not going to happen. You came out saying we forgive him. And you all remember that I went on a tirade that night saying, how can you get a conviction? How can you convince them to hold him if you are coming out of the gate saying we forgive him? If he is worthy of your forgiveness, he is worthy of the courts. If he is worthy of your leniency, he is worthy of the courts. And if he is worthy of your sympathy, he is worthy of the court's sympathy. Now, when they say, okay, we'll release him on bail, the father wants to run up there and say, whoa, 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 pull a 180. No, 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 no. No, we meant we forgive him. We didn't mean we forgive him. We meant we forgive him. We didn't mean we excuse him. That's not what we were saying. Brothers and sisters, Baltimore, cops walking. Cleveland, the cops walk. And now in South Carolina, a case that you all thought was slam dunk. How in the hell could we lose this? We got video recording. We got national media attention. They're taking down the Confederate flag. We got a black judge. How could we possibly lose? And now you are witnessing, as in right in front of your faces. Remember what I said? As a matter of fact, I posted that. I had posted that before. I posted that when Tamir Rice's killer was allowed to walk. You all remember that. I said, if you think it was ugly hearing Bob McCullough and Tim McGinty, Michael Brown and Tamir Rice on trial for their own murders so they could let the killers walk, if you thought that was ugly, y'all are going to think what happens to Walter Scott is going to be real ugly. Wait till you see what the prosecutors put Walter Scott on trial for his own murder and the judge go along with it. And to add insult to injury, it'll be a black judge doing it. You all thought I was being hyperbolic. You all thought I was exaggerating. You all thought I was stretching it some. You all thought, oh, it ain't really that bad. The Jews got sent to the death camp saying, how bad could it be? I said it a couple of days ago, and I mean it again today. Black people have learned nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing from the tribunal of slavery. We learned nothing from the crucible of slavery, absolutely nothing. The pain and torment our ancestors went through was wasted on us because we took no regard of what happened. And now the foolish children who have refused to learn from the lessons of history are now doomed to repeat it. Professor Black Truth, there were a bunch of people who thought to themselves that this was a slam dunk. Bunch of people who said this of all things would not happen. And now we're seeing it occur, Professor Truth.
Absolutely. That's because this is not about justice. You know, back in the day, I used to enjoy watching the show Law and Order. And back when Sam Waterston was playing the DA on that show, he was using all sorts of dirty tactics. You know, Jack McCoy would do anything to win the court case. And one of his assistant DAs was like, well, you know, why the world are we using these dirty tactics? You know, we'll be going after justice. And he said, this isn't about justice. Justice is a byproduct. It's about winning and losing. See, that's the way it works under white supremacy. Justice and white supremacy don't coexist. And let's make one thing clear. You got all those old black folks, I'm going to trust in the Lord till I die, and die you will very soon. Let's be clear. That's not black people doing this whole, we're so forgiven, people are not forgiven of nothing. This is black people taking up a submissive posture before white supremacy. This is black people begging for their lives. That's what this is. If we show a submissive to these good white folks, if we sit here and beg and plead enough and show them that we're harmless long enough, if we sit here and say, oh, the sweet love of Jesus, then the white people will look and say, well, you know, maybe we ought to send that guy to jail. This is black people acknowledging that they don't have any power in a freaking judicial system that is supported by their tax dollars. Black people who are the primary targets of an injustice system sitting here having to accept the fact that they don't have any influence at all. That, make no mistake, that's black people sitting here begging the good white folks to show some basic human decency. That's what that's about. Because that's what these black people have always done there. They've always begged, always pleaded, always said, please, Mr. White folks, I was just like you. And a black judge. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me even in the slightest. You know, we've been doing these broadcasts and videos for years, and one of the things we've been telling you that if you didn't put that judge on the bench, it doesn't matter if he's black or not. He is loyal to whomever he thinks put him on that bench. And you are now finding out what it is that Newman wants. Newman wants to have a higher appointment. He wants to get into a higher position. He is sitting here showing that he will gladly throw as many black people under the bus as he's got to in order to get it. He sees the writing on the wall. Every freaking lawyer in America saw what happened in New York when Dan Donovan was able to get a congressional seat after he aided and abetted in the murder of Eric Garner. Everybody saw that he immediately went straight from the Staten Island DA's office straight to Congress. Every lawyer in America saw that. And what kind of message does that send when everyone can see that the most, at that time, the most watched, the most controversial police slaying up until that time results in the DA who in front of the world throws a case, and that's how white supremacy operates there, and say, well, we got to do this behind closed doors. Hell no. White supremacy is about we're doing this in your face. When they saw him go to Congress, that sent the message to everyone. Hey, this is what the powers that be want. What about the law? Ain't no law. What about justice? Ain't about justice. Didn't we just get through telling you? Well, what about the next case? Well, the next case, we'll go ahead and handle that one the right way, as long as the victim is white and the accused is black. But they all got the message. When it comes to the police killing black people, go ahead and throw the case and you will be rewarded. That was a big flashing neon sign saying, go in on the niggers. You do not have to judge the case according to the law. You judge it according to the dictates of white supremacy. And there's a payday waiting for you at the end. And don't worry about having the favorable judgment of history. Walter Scott's mother will sit there and she will sit there and beg and plead and sing about, I'm going to trust in the Lord. You know, there's an old saying among lawyers, especially in Chicago, that it's far better to know the judge than it is to know the law. That's even worse when you consider that the judge was put there by the very people who just got through gunning your son down. And what do? You sit here and say, if I just sing and coon for him, I'm just going to coon a little bit. Let me tell you something. The only cases in the last year where black people got something resembling movement, something resembling justice, was when we showed that if you hit us, we're going to hit you right back, only we'll hit you harder. That's what you learn from Baltimore. That's what you learn from Missouri U. That's what you learn from the Black Lives Matter occupation in Minneapolis. By the way, Minneapolis was the same place where Sean the Pawn Hannity and Rush the Racist Limbaugh and the rest of the false news cohort were talking about, oh, those chanters in Minneapolis talking about pigs in a blanket frying like bacon. Yeah, and you understand why they felt that way. But you don't hear me, though. Under white supremacy, you're not going to get justice. Well, they're already preparing you the same way they prepared you with Tamir Rice. They're preparing you for Michael Slager's eventual acquittal. Because that's where this is going. And I hope no one's dumb enough to sit there and say, well, maybe we'll hold out a candle and hope that Loretta Lynch finally discovers her backbone. We told you as soon as she got nominated, she said that her first priority was restoring morale to the police. And the police have already made it clear. Give us a license to kill as many black people as possible, and we'll be happy as clams. And she said, your wish is granted. See, when it comes time to talk about prosecuting police, what you're going to hear is, oh, these federal cases, so hard, you see. So very hard, you see. The burden of proof, so high, you see. Chances of a conviction, so low, because it's just so hard. So hard, why? We dare not even bring a case because it's so hard. So hard, you see. But then you ask, why is it that there are so many black men who are behind bars because of ghost dope? That means dope that didn't exist. Hell, they're putting Hollywood people behind bars. Wesley Snipes got put behind bars. Director of Die Hard, John McTiernan, got put behind bars. You should check out the interview that he did on CNN when he got out. And he was talking about that basically everyone that he saw there was there because of ghost dope. See, they don't have any problems. There's no, apparently the burden of proof isn't very high for putting black men in jail. And might I add, the prosecutors are the ones who lobbied Congress and lobbied the state legislatures and saying we need to have a lower threshold in order for us to put people behind bars. So the prosecutors have no problem putting people behind bars when they want to. They have no problem getting charges filed when they want to. And this, let this be for any doubters out there, because I know there's a few hypocrites in the audience. If you think that you are going to appeal to the angels of these good white folks' higher nature, then you are dreaming. If you think that you are going to sit here and sing their gospel verses louder than they do, and that you're going to make a show of your faith better than and bigger than they do, and that somehow this is going to shame them into civilized behavior, you are a fool. After those parishioners were outside of Mother Emmanuel Church sitting here going, Lord, 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 tell us why, Lord, tell us what to do. You should have seen those white reporters on cable news networks and on the mainstream broadcast networks. They were all sitting there and you could see it in their eyes. They were like, what a bunch of damned fools. Because as far as they're concerned, they're like, you're sitting here saying, Lord, tell us what to do. You haven't said a doggone word about what needs to be done to him. And that's the reason why after the San Bernardino shooting, you didn't see any white people talking about we forgive them. Every time you see some white boy who walks into a movie theater or walks into a church or an elementary school or up into a congressman and shoots somebody, they don't sit there talking about forgiveness. They literally cannot understand when you do. And they pat you on the head mainly because they pat you on the head the way that you pat a dog on the head, a particularly dim-witted dog who's too stupid to be able to fetch a bone. You're sitting there going, well, I ain't got the heart to put him down. I'll just wait till Officer Slager comes and does it. Because that's what's happening here. Now, this might be a little off topic, but it's on my heart to say, some of you have heard, in fact, all of you should have heard about the terrorist occupation of a federal building in Oregon. As many as possibly 120 white supremacists have made it clear that they are going to force the federal government out of that district. The media is trying not to cover it. They don't call them terrorists. They don't even call them gunmen. You see video and all you see is guys with assault rifles and pistols on their hips. Nobody even once is called gunmen. Kind of sounds like the bikers in Waco, doesn't it? A bunch of white guys get together, armed to the teeth. They cause a horrible public disturbance. The authorities aren't sure what to do because they're white. And you're sitting here going, gee, when are they going to start calling them terrorists? The answer, they're not. When are they going to start calling them gunmen? Answer, they're not. They've got the racial code words. And they want to make sure that there is no confusion. That's the reason why some of you thought that we scored a big victory. It was a minor one when we sat there and shut them down on the use of the word thug. See, whenever white supremacy gets put in check, they're not going to change their tune. They're not going to admit that they're wrong. What they will simply do is drop one line of bull crap and pick up another one. You are not going to get around the fact that you have to fight these people. You're not going to sing your way to freedom. Ain't that what Khalid Muhammad said? He said, all of this, we shall overcome. Man, it ought to be, we shall overrun, because that's the only thing that works for us. Stop sitting here trying to figure out how you're going to get your freedom and not step on any white people's toes. Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to get them to respect you is to step on their toes. Step on their toes, kick them in the knees, knee them in the groin, punch them in the jaw. You go ahead and you get a couple of them in a chokehold and make them respect you. But the days of singing and go ahead, keep on singing. Go ahead and keep singing. And you'll be singing all the way as Michael Slager is walking out of the courtroom, a free man. You'll be sitting there singing, Lord, we don't know why, but we trust in your divine plan. Lord, Lord. Meanwhile, you'll be getting ready to bury some more black people, because every time we show weakness in the face of white supremacy, we continue to make ourselves targets. They are terrorists. You don't negotiate with terrorists. And you don't sit here trying to figure out, can we shame them? What you do is you confront them and you defeat them. And defeat does not look like, can we convert them to our way of thinking? Defeat looks like we overran their position and ran the bastards out of town. And those who were not fast enough to run, we were trampling them. That's what victory looks like. That's what justice looks like. When my people are not only no longer under threat, but there is no one who will so much as raise their voice, much less raise their hand against us. That's what justice looks like. But Professor Truth, what about the other side? Didn't I tell you last night? That's like, don't you dare ask me about the other side. You would never ask me what about the other side of gravity. Don't ask me about the other side of justice. I gave you what the definition of justice is. Because right now, what you are seeing with Michael Slager, this is white supremacy deciding, okay, we thought we were on a roll after Trayvon Martin. We thought we had something going there with Eric Garner. Okay, the Negros pushed back with Baltimore and Missouri U. You know, we took some L's. But you know what? We're gearing up for round two. That's what this is. They see this as round two. And now what they have to move the needle, and they need something so outrageous. Something so beyond the pale, something that gets the point across loud and clear that there should be no expectation of the law to be enforced against any white man who harms a black man. This is the 19th century, that a black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. That's what this is about. This is meant to move the needle. And our response is not going to be some mealy-mouthed, can we sing some Bible verses? You sing Bible verses. We are going to be planning how to acquire the power, wealth, and influence necessary to not only punish police departments who employ these degenerates, but to also put the fear of God into a spineless judge, into a corrupt racist DA, into a out-of-control bigoted Supreme Court justice, or a set of them, into the would-be power brokers who clearly put a bounty on our heads by rewarding DAs who deliberately throw the cases against those who kill us. That's what we are going to have. And we will allow no pathetic shaming tactics either from the media or from those who sympathize with white supremacy to pause us. And we're not going to allow the Mark Lamont Hills to gripe at us about nuance. And we're not going to allow the Swirl Brigade or the clowns who are thinking, if I can just ride these good white coon tails to higher office, forget it. If your road to higher office is paved with the blood of black people, then as far as I'm concerned, that's a straightforward you or us proposition. And it ain't going to be us. There is a race war on, and some of us are fighting, but nowhere near hard enough. You've put out 1/1,000th of the effort that you're going to need. When Jason spent 5 years saying, eat this, drink this, breathe this, live this, be this, what the hell do you think he meant? This must be all consuming. We are at war. Do you want victory? Maybe. Then that's the answer you just gave to whether or not you're going to survive. Maybe. You got to want this all the time. And it can't just be when Michael Slager guns down Walter Scott. That ain't good enough. Years ago, we told you that the definition of unity, whatever you think unity is not something that happens whenever a cop guns down a black person. That's not when unity occurs. Unity is 24/7. Black empowerment is 365. It is everything you do, everything you watch, everything you read. You are doing it when it is appropriate, and you're definitely doing it when it's inappropriate. It is who you are. Because I'll tell you right now, when you look at that militia up there in Oregon, they're not giving a damn what anyone thinks. They went ahead and got the hardware, got some friends together, and they're saying, this is where we're going to make our stand. Now, these are a bunch of white folk who are sitting here calling themselves taking over a federal building on the behalf of two clowns who set fire that got out of control, you know, kind of like those wildfires in California, 130 acres scorched. Who on earth would sit there and say, we want these guys loose on the streets? They did. You want to know why? Because under white supremacy, you got to make the point that a white man is immune from law. That was the principle that Clive and Bundy was trying to stand up for. Hey, I'm a white man. They're sitting here telling me that I could go to jail. What the hell is jail? That's for black folks. That's the reason why he felt prompted to say, let me tell you about the Negro. Because he's sitting here going, man, the feds are trying to treat me like a black person. I ain't having that. So we watched this case of Michael Slager. And I hate to say it, but you know what? We can just start the countdown. We can start the countdown until Michael Slager walks out of court a free man. Because I can already smell it. The fix is clearly in. And the fact that they assigned a black judge, that simply meant to keep some black people a little more quiet. They'll look and go, surely the judge. Man, how many slave revolts got busted up because a black person sat there and turned traitor? So the only lesson that intelligent black society can take away from this coming atrocity, this coming outrage, this is yet another reminder of what happens when we haven't already stacked the deck. When the judge didn't get put there by us, when the prosecutor didn't get put there by us, we have to sit here and cross our fingers and hope that a scumbag who was caught on camera murdering somebody, hope that maybe, just maybe, he'll go to jail. Hope that maybe the system has a glitch this time and doesn't do what it's done the other 90,000 times in a row. Hope that something is going to happen that can make at least a couple of cops think twice before gunning us down. Ridiculous. We're in a war for our survival that we're losing, and we're using hope as our strategy. Must be why we're losing.
For those of you who are just tuning in now or were unaware, we are reporting to you here that Michael Slager, the murderous cop in South Carolina, recorded on video gunning down Walter Scott in front of the world, has been released tonight on bail. $500,000, that was all he was being held under. They were holding him before the judge decided, a black judge has decided that he's been in jail long enough, and that since they were going to have to delay his trial because of Dylan Roth killing a bunch of people, they said that, well, we'll just go ahead and let him go now. Who cares about the flight risk? Who cares about the menace and the danger that he causes or that he poses to the community? Who cares about that at all? I had explained to you all last night, and Professor Truth just explained it to you all here again, that when you are dealing with radicals, and that's what white supremacists are, they are radicals, that what radicals do when they see a situation not going the way they want to an exact social change, what you must do is what I told you last night, confrontation and desecration. But starting with blatant confrontation. And what you do is you do something so blatant, so heinous, right in front of everyone, and then you do not move. You stand there and you demand that everyone else accept what you are, everything about them, And that's what's going on now. Something else I want to remind you all about here, by the way. You can go take a look if you want to. Go check Mark Lamont Coon's page, Jeffrey the Coon, and all the rest of these gutless, spineless, worthless bastards who are talking trash over the grave of the immortal Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. Go and see if any of them are talking about Michael Slager has been released. Go to their pages. Go check and see if any of them have said a word. Ebony Magazine, Gay Lives Matter. All these folks, go and check their pages. Go see if they said a word about this. This does not bother them. This does not upset them. Because they don't see how this affects their deviant sexuality. They don't see Michael Slager as the enemy. They see your refusal to accept their deviancies as the enemy. But if you want proof that they are against us, go check their pages right now. And for those of you who will be hearing this recorded, we started this at 7 p.m. Central Time. You go check and see how long it takes for any of them to even find out, much less acknowledge that this event has occurred. This is how in touch and how concerned about the future of black people they are. This is how concerned about us as a people these snakes are. This is what the vipers and the vermin and the serpents feel. That these are just minor coincidences, minor incidents. And it's the rest of you who just don't understand that Michael Slager is irrelevant. You accepting these people's perversions, that is the only thing that matters. Who cares if the cops gunning us down on every street corner? Who cares? And I want you all tonight to do a double take. Especially where your parents are concerned, some of you, your grandparents, do yourselves a double take, and I want you to walk up to them tonight, and I want you to tell them that if you can't find concrete proof that they walk with Dr. King, Malcolm X, and the Panthers, if you can't find it, then you won't believe anything they have to say, and you tell them, I just want you to know that I know you are responsible for George Zimmerman's existence, and Darren Wilson, and Bob McCullough, and Michael Slager, and Daniel Pantaleo, and Dan Donovan, and all the others. I just want you to know that I know about your cowardice and the cowardly life you lived. And if it's never stated to you again, I know what you are. And these young black men and young black people around the country are being killed because of your cowardice. Lay this problem at the feet where it belongs. And that is why so many people have, they've been telling us for years, there y'all go with that pro-black stuff. As if there's a problem, there's something wrong with being pro-black, really? There's a problem with that? Since when did that become a problem? What you really mean to say is, there you go with that self-respect and decency stuff. I don't need no self-respect and decency. My soul was whored out years ago. I have no use for this self-respect and decency stuff you keep talking. I don't have any use for it. I have no use and I have no need. As the white population in America has begun to go down, you are seeing a radicalization across the board. I was reading a story here just yesterday that was saying that the angriest group of people in America, a poll showed the angriest group of people in America are whites and Republicans. And of course, that's just the same thing. You're being redundant now. I said this half a decade ago and it's still true today. We have entered the single most dangerous and perilous period in history for Africans. This is the last period of history. Was the one that saw us put into slavery. The next period of history is the one that sees us annihilated. It's the one that sees us exterminated. It's the one where we go extinct. That's the one we're coming up on now. We're coming up on the period where black people are killed from the earth. And you're going to have a bunch of black folks saying, there ain't no threat. I got sneakers and cell phones. Is no threat. And I say this to you all again. You realize George Zimmerman is walking the streets, able to go out, hunt down, kill, or whatever he wants to do. Same thing for Darren Wilson. Same thing for Daniel Pantaleo. Same thing for Tim Lohman. Same thing for Dante Servin. Same thing for all of them. They are walking the streets with their guns and a newfound sense of invincibility because they feel that they are the hand-picked, hand-selected, and christened soldiers of white supremacy and that they have had their agenda endorsed by the society, the courts, and anything else you can name. This is what we're up against right now. This is the threat, and the threat is real. Professor Truth, did you have any more words?
Just 2 points I wanted to make. I decided to go ahead and hold my nose and take a look at Hill's Facebook page. He doesn't have anything at all about Michael Slager, nothing whatsoever. None of his followers have even mentioned it, though he did a few hours ago put up a post about a black lesbian in Britain who has declined to receive her MBE. That's it's a knighthood for a person in Britain. It's like a member of the British order, member of the British Empire. So a black lesbian declines to get a knighthood. He sees that as worthy of sharing a link to. Black, the guy who guns down a black man, well, he's not so sure what he thinks about that. And the second thing that I wanted to mention, Clive and Bundy's ignorant little sons have gone out to that little terrorist jamboree up in Oregon. That means something because Clive and Bundy and his friends, they are motivated. White supremacy is motivated by their former heroes. Like if you're a Mormon, like Clive and Bundy, you believe in a guy called Captain Moroni, who's mentioned in their little book of fables, the Book of Latter-day Saints. Apparently, he went to war with a bunch of nobodies, but before he did, he tore some of his own clothing, and on it he wrote, in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children. Now, what they called it was the Title of Liberty flag. Now, this is a fable, by the way, totally made up story. You see a bunch of white people out there championing a work of fiction. Do you think it's because they thought it was a good story? No, it's because of the principle that it represented. That's the reason why we went in on the Mark Lamont Hill and Jeffrey McCoon and all the rest of their well-wishers. Because there seems to be nothing that black people, well, let me rephrase that. Outside of intelligent black society, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot that black people are willing to stand for. And that's got to change. And it's going to change starting with us. In the meanwhile, please take lots of pictures of Michael Slager walking out of the courtroom, a free man. They'll last longer. Black first.
You almost get to a point where you grow weary of the prophecies coming to pass. You kind of get to a point where you get weary of saying all these bad things and watching them come to pass. To the young black people listening today, I understand that you have been completely and totally left listless and lost. Your parents have lied to you and you have a biological prerogative. Plus, their evil, insidious brainwashing that tells you that you are to respect them simply for their presence and nothing else. And I'm trying to warn you all tonight that you better break that programming because your parents had the luxury of being ignored. White society was 90% of the population when they were your age. Now white society is fighting for its genetic survival. And what they think of killing every single one of us isn't very much when you are dealing with white supremacists. What they think of killing us is not very much. I remember doing my broadcast the night that George Zimmerman was acquitted, and I called it in front of the world. I very well could have been wrong. I said it three times before they said not guilty. And people were saying, how'd you know? How'd you know? How'd you figure it out? Now, you had a bunch of folk jump up later and say, oh, I knew. But they weren't there that night. When the jury was talking, there was dead silence in the chat room. Nobody wanted to say it. I said it on the microphone in front of the world. They're going to say he's not guilty. And if you don't know that, you haven't been paying attention to the last 500 years of American history. And then it happened. And everyone was shocked and rocked on their heels. And since then, you have seen it happen over and over and over and over and over again. Bill Cosby has been indicted on nothing more than the word of a white woman. Bobby Shmurda is in jail and can't get out, can't get bail. Michael Slager killed a man on video. The whole world has seen it. And tonight, he's walking the streets, and God knows what he will be doing. You've been sold out. You've been sold out, and you've been misled by your parents, and you must face this reality because the police are shooting at you, not them. You've been misled by your teachers. You have been whored out and misled by your clergy. And you better appreciate a place like this that at least will tell you the truth about your condition. The stable of coons and clowns out there, we have a sickness and a disease in black society. And that sickness and that disease is that we have members of the group of black society that are actively working against black people. We have a segment of black society that actually gets up every day with their mind and their heart set on working against the rest of black society, and you are all seeing it play itself out from the White House to the courthouse to your house. Michael Slager is free on bond, and if he is found not guilty, if he is released, if he is acquitted, I want you all to know at that moment it becomes open season on all black people everywhere. Because every white supremacist thug, killer, and murderer will simply say, well, all I have to do is replicate George Zimmerman's strategy, replicate Darren Wilson's strategy. Hell, the bar has been set so low, I can just replicate Michael Slager's strategy. You have entered the century of white minority rule. May you live long enough to be sorry for it. And this concludes tonight's special broadcast of the Black Channel Radio Program. Thank you for sitting in with me tonight, Professor Truth. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future. And you have been warned.